Welcome to Accounting High.
This isn't even like the development of cloud. I mean, this is in terms of magnitude, this is up there with certainly the computer, steam engine, and maybe like fire. I don't know yet, right? We're still figuring it out.
It's the calculator that we never had for the other half of our brain. We all use calculators.
Yeah, that's
in a good school, way to think about. Kids take calculators to the SATs. Now, kids have a calculator to write papers, to write essays.
Yeah.
You know, it's about the inputs and about what they put in, if they're going to get the right answer, what the right thing is going to come out.
May I have your attention, please? I repeat, may I have your attention, please?
This is another public service announcement brought to you in part
by Accounting High.
The views and events expressed here are
of the next generation of accounting and tech professionals leading this space.
Welcome to Accounting High. Whether you loved high school or you hated it, here we're on a mission to set our own traditions. Here's your chance to be a part of an unforgettable experience redone. So sit back, relax, and open your mind because class is in session.
Anything else?
Yeah.
So without further ado, introducing the star of our show,
Scotty and Davis Bell.
We're going to have a problem here.
Class is in session. I have with me today the CEO of Canopy, Davis Bell. Davis, what I love about your profile on LinkedIn is your about is just one word. Builder.
Yeah.
Or building. Love that. That's, you know, I don't like reading these little intros and everything. And I was just kind of just talking to you before we recorded. And this, I said, like, for our listeners, this is the first time I've had a guest on that I don't know beforehand. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting.
We'll see. We'll see where this goes.
Might be the most educational episode we put out.
Yeah. So, or the worst. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. One way or another. So Davis, tell me, how did you get into the accounting space? How did you end up at, I mean, I guess this is tech. Like, you're not really in the accounting space, but Canopy is an accounting platform. So.
Yeah. So I think it's a relatively simple story. I am a SaaS guy. So software as a service. This is now the fifth SaaS company I've been at, and I've sort of specialized in a specific kind of SaaS, which we call vertical SaaS, meaning there's SaaS that focuses on a broad set of industries. So if you think about Salesforce as a good example, Salesforce sells to tech companies and accounting firms and plumbing companies. So vertical SaaS is different than that. That's horizontal SaaS. Vertical SaaS is software that is dedicated to a very specific industry. So accounting as an example. So I've sort of been at companies that serve universities, K-12 schools, in the sort of tour operator space, and accounting is the, you know, one that I ended up at Canopy. So variety of roles, and, you know, been in accounting since I came to Canopy just a little under 4 years ago.
So as we say, in accounting, we say niche a lot. And
yes.
Basically. And I use vertical more than I use niche because I like that. I kind of stole that from tech companies.
Yeah.
Industry verticals and having a vertical. So you focus on focused SaaS companies.
Yes. Yeah. And I like that because, you know, if you're Salesforce, right, as an example, who's maybe the most successful SaaS company of all time, you know, it's challenging, right? Because what the person at the plumbing company needs is maybe a little different than what the person at the tech company needs, which is different than what the person at the accounting firm needs. Whereas for us, we can just go really deep and we can just focus, get to know the customer extremely well, figure out what they want, figure out what they need, and build it, right? And not have to worry about the plumbing company and the tech company. Just, you know, laser focus, which I think is rewarding.
Focus on your customers, focus on your core product. Those are the two things. And if you have a focused audience and a focused set of customers, you can really, you know, focus on their needs.
Exactly.
And fill their needs. So this is going to bring us into today's conversation. So we're going to talk about artificial intelligence and advancing advisory. So with tech, it can make you a much better technician and practitioner. We all know that. We all know what tech can do for us. This isn't going to be an episode about Canopy or about
Sure.
Davis Bell per se. We're going to just talk about this buzzword of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
This is something that we've all seen growing up in movies. Everybody's afraid of AI taking over. In any science fiction movie, you've got some version of AI in the future that is basically taking over the human form. Battlestar Galactica could be one, for example. In this case, now that we're seeing it, it's actually being practically used. GPT, ChatGPT is probably the one most widely used, known of. It's different than I think we all envisioned. That's the one thing I found the most interesting, is it's a lot more creative than it is analytical. What has been your impression this year? Because, I mean, it was late last year that everybody was able to toy around with this.
Yeah.
Now that we're, 10, 12 months in, maybe a year in, what's been your impression?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating, right? Like, number one, there's always the buzzword or the hot topic within technology, right? And so if we sort of just think back, however far we want to go back, but I would say prior to AI, there was a lot around blockchain and Web3 and crypto, right? And those are sort of related concepts to some extent. And I think, I always pay attention to them, right? Whatever that sort of, hot topic of the day is, part of my job to understand it and watch it. I'm relatively skeptical of the hot topic. I mean, the tech world, the venture-backed tech world is sort of notoriously jumpy and like seizes on
short attention span.
Yeah, it's like squirrel syndrome or whatever, like in the movie Up. So it's like they seize on the big thing and the investors write a lot of, big checks to whoever says, hey, I'm doing this thing, and no one really understands it, but they want to be at the forefront. So money goes into it, people go into it, and then a lot of times it sort of fizzles out. And I think that, there's still the believers in blockchain, Web3, crypto. But thus far, I mean, if we're just being objective about it, I don't know that we've seen sort of anything revolutionary come out of it, right? And so, when you're actually running a company and you have finite resources and can only build, a certain amount of things into your software, you sort of have to get a little skeptical and you have to be like, look, okay, maybe, blockchain or Web3 or crypto or whatever is the future. And maybe at some point our customers will need us to sort of build that in. But thus far, not seeing that and not, feeling the need to repurpose resources away from just the software application that we're building and the traditional modules, right? What I would say about AI is it feels, in my opinion, it's completely different than that, right? Like we've all read about AI and machine learning. It's been in sci-fi forever, and we've all seen Terminator and Her and lots of movies and TV shows and Battlestar Galactica. And everyone's been like, hey, maybe someday. And then ChatGPT, whenever that dropped, I feel like it was like Thanksgiving, maybe last year-ish, Q4. I remember the first time I used that, I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not just a potential thing. This is not just a thing that could be interesting down the road. This is powerful and revolutionary, like right now, today, right? And I remember sort of like, my wife's like, why are you on your phone all Thanksgiving? And it was like, because I was like playing around with it and testing it, right? And like seeing what it could do. And I mean, almost immediately I was like slacking the team at Canopy and being like, this is real and we have to figure this out. And how does it impact us? And almost more importantly, how does it impact our customers? Right? Because almost immediately there was then this narrative around, what kind of jobs is this going to replace? Right? And who's going to be impacted? And then before long, you start seeing accountants at the, towards the top of that list. Right. So, so I, we can get into the weeds on it, but I would just say I'm of the opinion that this is not like, this isn't even like the development of cloud. I mean, this is in terms of magnitude, this is up there with certainly the computer, certainly the steam engine, and maybe like fire. I don't know yet, right? We're still figuring it out. But I
like to say it's the calculator that we never had for the other half of our brain. We all used calculators.
Yeah.
In school, in everything. Kids take calculators to the SATs now, right? Like, I'm I'm not sure how it was in the beginning when calculators came out, but just the fact that being able to compute the mathematical equations, you know, that was something that we've always been able to do. Spreadsheet is like magic if you saw it for the first time.
Totally.
Now, kids have a calculator to write papers, to write essays.
Yeah.
You know, it's about the inputs and about what they put in, if they're going to get the right answer, what the right thing is going to come out. But when you put something into your TI-85, you're going to get the right answer if you put the right, if you compute right in there. So I think that's probably, to me, that was the best analogy, because now you can't live without the calculator. But people, I'm sure, in the beginning was like, ooh, that's going to take our job. I don't even know what year that was a thing, but computers, you know, the cloud, just the internet itself, I think was one of those big drivers of everything new that's come out of it. And then this is that next thing. This is like going to be next to the internet, because it's an entirely different experience than Google. You know, you think it was the adjective we use was Google something. Go look it up. You don't need to Google things anymore.
No. I love that calculator for the other side of your brain. I think that's a really smart way to think about it. What's interesting, though, too, is it's also dramatically enhanced the calculator that we've had for the other side, right? Which, like, it's doing quantitative things, too, around coding and programming that. So, I believe, I mean, I'm like sort of candidly, like I'm equal parts excited and scared about it. Even if we take off the table, like let's take off the table, like the Terminator kills humanity, we're all hiding in caves from like those robot dogs, you know, that we see. Just the amount of like social, political, economic, philosophical disruption that I think it's going to cause is going to be kind of wild, honestly. So, that's scary, because you just think, there, gosh, how humans have a hard time with change, and it, you know, causes a lot of problems. But I think I'm also super excited about it, right? You can sort of live in a world not super far down the road where we've got drugs for stuff we don't have drugs for, and we, you know, eliminated a lot of the drudgery around with a lot of jobs and connected people and gotten them education. And so, cool, scary, all the things.
Yeah. I just realized that so many movies use robot dogs. That's probably going to be a thing.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of one specific example, because I'm thinking of a bunch of different cartoons and movies. They all have robot dogs in the future. Where's our robot dog?
Well, have you seen like that Boston Dynamics company? You can see it on Twitter and stuff. And they built the robots. And I saw one of their robot dogs in person, and I had like a visceral, I was like, ooh, that's like a little scary and weird. I mean, it's super cool. But also, like, I was like, dang, like, that thing's like a little uncanny, freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah, it makes me really think and go real deep on this stuff. Like, with what's the future with AI? Like, is it going to be a scenario where we can't even tell the difference between a Cylon and a human? And is that going to be okay? Like, I don't know. I think in our lifetime we're going to start to see how all this shapes the entire world. But for accountants specifically, I think the biggest fear for me is for an accountant, what we've, and a bookkeeper and anybody that's in this profession, the way I've been able to describe our jobs is we account for what already happened. We're moving things around, and the most important part of our job that people are starting to realize when we talk about advisory, when we talk about client communication, relationships, the relationship that we have with the client comes before anything else, any of the what we account for on the back end. It's the way that we relay that to the customer and the way we interpret it. So we're the interpreters of all that information.
Yep.
I think we have based our profession up until fairly recently as selling the work that needs to be done. And the work is compliance, is taxes, is the bookkeeping. All of that stuff that we've been selling is going to be automated. I feel very strongly that not too far in the future, almost all of it's going to be automated. But what's going to be left is, who's the liaison? Who's still the person that's going to advise on it? So maybe the accountant does evolve, and we've all been seeing this. We've all been talking about it. Advisory, and everybody's afraid of advisory. Not everybody, but a lot of accountants are just, I don't want to advise my clients. I'm just here to get the job done. What's your take on all of this? Like where we're going with advisory versus just accountants in general? Like what, how about these low end services that we do?
Yeah. So the way I think about it is if you think about sort of skill and seniority level at a typical firm, right now, it's like if you were ran your own firm and you hired your 14-year-old to just help you with stuff, right? I mean, clearly they're not an accountant. They're not an admin. They haven't been to college. They have no training. But, you know, you might have them like organizing files or responding to very basic emails, just very admin menial stuff. AI is good enough to replace them kind of now-ish into the next year or whatever, right? Sure. So it's like your 14-year-old kid's internship is probably now gone, right? And then I think if you give it another year or two, then you think about an admin, right? And someone who's just doing some of that work, but higher level, more skill, got some experience, they're an adult. Yeah, I think, I don't think, is it a year? Is it three? I don't know. But it's not the far distant future where a lot of that, you know, maybe not all of it, but certainly a lot of that, maybe if there's two of them or three of them, then maybe you need one. Or maybe you need a half of a person. And then you get into like, so you just move up the value chain, right? And like, then there's like the junior accountant right out of college, staff accountant, whatever you want to call them, who's just, you know, you give them the easy stuff, right? But they're an accountant, they can do that stuff. Yeah. Over the next while, that person can, you know, a lot of what they do goes away. So I'm not of the opinion that like, there won't be humans in accounting. I just think that like, there will be, you know, the less skill, the less creativity that a person's current role requires, the more likely and the faster that is to be supplanted by AI.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And it's just going to evolve to change. I mean, it's going to also increase the value of those at the top of that value chain. They're going to be the most important. I mean, in a way, this solves some of the pipeline problem too, because that, you know, it's going to be the most important people are the ones that are interfacing and that continue to cultivate that human relationship with their clients. Raising fees could probably also impact how we handle this pipeline problem. You know, we trim our client bases. There's a lot of things that we can do to help our capacity issues right now. But I think the most important one is AI. Using AI, using technology, using cloud software to eliminate. That's what we did at our firm. So we eliminated a ton of jobs years ago when we started using Xero and other cloud apps to automate a lot of the processing that we were doing at our firm. You know, we're seeing it naturally happen. We're seeing this chokehold in the pipeline of new CPAs. How is this AI going to help with that, with those problems?
Yeah.
What's your opinion on that?
Well, I would make 2 points. The first, back to something you said. We sort of live, you know, we're tech oriented, you know, you're a tech oriented accountant, I'm a tech CEO. So I think we're prisoners of our own experience a little bit. We're talking about the future and AI, and in a lot of ways, there's still a couple steps that haven't happened in the transition, the technological transition that lots of firms in the world generally haven't made, right? I mean, it's like, you know, there's still a lot of accountants using paper for a lot of things, right? Or spreadsheets. So, you know, there's still a couple step, you know, this isn't going to happen overnight where AI is just going to come in, because lots of folks still have to move from, you know, a server in the closet to cloud as an example, right? But I think to the broader sort of question, I think that business owners, in this case, firm owners, are going to leverage the tools that are available to them to get the work done as well and quickly as possible. And I think that right now the opportunity for people is software, right? Just sort of modern cloud software. And then before long, AI will be embedded in that modern cloud software, right? Because like that's the thing. Like I think it's important to note, like I don't think you're going to just bust open ChatGPT to do this stuff, right? What's going to happen is the innovative software providers are going to embed AI, whether it's ChatGPT or Llama or whatever, like one of these large language models is going to be embedded in that, which is what we're doing today. So it may not even totally feel like you're using AI. It's just you're just using software that's suddenly, you know, just takes a lot more off your plate, right? Sure. You have to tell it to do less. It's just smarter. It does stuff in the background without being told. But yeah, 100%. Like, that's going to happen. I mean, it's only been out for a year and people are shipping AI-enabled features, us and lots of other companies like ours. And that is over time going to help address the capacity problem and what I call the lifestyle problem, right, in accounting. So yeah, it's going to happen. It's, you know, the timeline's a little uncertain, but it's certainly not like, hey, one day when our children are accountants, right? Like, it's happening in the next little bit.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, technology. So I had Liz Wilkie on from Gusto. She's the economist there. She said something that I really loved. She said, humans sit at the seams of the technology. We're there to keep all of it going. We're giving the inputs to it. But what AI is going to do is it's going to help seam a lot of these together without us handling a lot of the inputs or doing certain things. So what AI is going to do is it could probably pull information from other places and automate a lot more than we've been able to do and unlock a lot more of our processing power. So we just sit at the seams between tech and another human. So we are that liaison, so to speak, or we're still going to be the ones like that control the AI. AI is not going to take over in a sense. I don't think I'm too concerned about that at all. Like, I think every human was and is that's watching science fiction or thinking what happens when this makes us irrelevant. But in a way, it makes us more relevant and we become more powerful. I've been writing a lot of raps lately. That's what I do now. I rap for accountants. And I've been using AI loosely to do that. It's eliminated 80% of the time that I've been spending on this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And yesterday, I normally spend sometimes 8 hours plus on a verse. This one took me like an hour. And I'm using GPT-4. And with the right instruction, with the right iteration, it's doing what I could do, but better. Right. And it wouldn't be doing that without the inputs I gave it. So I still don't even feel like I'm cheating, so to speak. Yeah. I'm using it to leverage it to make my outputs better.
Sure.
It knows how to tell story. It's telling stories better than I could. It's interpreting data and information better than I can to distill it down to then break it down into just the story components. And then it's making it rhyme for me too. And it's picking other synonyms, all the little things that I would do to take time with. So, and this is just a creative thing. There's no right or wrong answer to anything I'm using it for right now.
Sure.
And I think that was the point I was making early on too, was some people say, oh, well, this is not right because it's hallucinating and it's not giving me the right answers or it's making stuff up. But I think that's the whole point, is making stuff up is hard for us. We have writer's block or we can't think of something. And that's where it comes and kicks in. That's where if we give it the right input, then it's going to eliminate those hours of writer's block or toiling with something to get it there. So I think the early stages, the use cases was we can use it for communications too. It can make us better communicators in emails, especially written communication, because context is something that we have a hard time with. You know, the gap between what we know and what we're trying to communicate, we're leaving things out. So I think this can fill that gap.
Yeah. Well, that's, you mentioned email. That was the first AI release we did, was go put in a couple keywords and, you know, just say like, Scotty missing W-2, boom, hit enter, professionally written email from me to Scotty. Hello, Scotty, your W-2 is late. I need it by Thursday. Da, da, da. And then you can iterate on it and like less professional, more professional. And yeah, I mean, you know, that doesn't sound huge, but when you think about how many emails does an accountant write for missing things, and then as, you know, we're investing now, I'm like, hey, go read all the context, go see what's going on in this relationship between an accountant and a customer. I mean, over time, that adds up to hours and then tens of hours and then hundreds of hours and thousands of hours. And the hope is, right, that the humans involved in that previously will then be repurposed to go do other more creative things that only a human can do, right? And that's, you know, that's kind of how technology's worked so far, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's always, I mean, it's happened throughout time. Things become irrelevant or they evolve. I'm using the taxi cab as an example a lot, like the yellow medallion, the taxi cab drivers and all of the infrastructure and everything invested in that. Yep. And all of a sudden, over a span of probably less than a year, it was irrelevant. You know, they fight to hold on to it, but
yeah,
it was irrelevant. But there, yet all those people that were driving taxis, they have jobs. they are doing fine. Like, it wasn't like they were eliminated.
Sure.
And maybe they're driving Ubers now, or maybe they're doing something entirely different. When things get upended, people are going to still find a way to fit, you know, to fit their knowledge and fit in the seams of the technology. Yeah. The technology is still always controlled by us. We're giving it the inputs to then help us with the output. So,
although I will say, and I love that analogy, but I think there's another angle to it, which is, you know, I go to New York every once in a while, and I, you know, I noticed the cost of Ubers is just like dramatically increased over the last couple of years. And I went and looked, and it was like, well, yeah, it's because they ran a bunch of the taxis out of business, and now they jacked up prices.
No competition.
And they have no competition. So
taxis are cheaper now.
Yeah. And also, it's like sometimes, you know, you just want a cab, right? Like, you get out of the airport, it's like, you don't want to like figure out where to meet the Uber drivers. So you just like want to go in that cab line. There's like none of them there. So it's a great example in lots of ways. But one of them is that adoption of new technology is messy, and it creates disruption, and it isn't always perfect, right? It's better on maybe on a net basis, but like, it isn't always the same. And I think you're going to see a little bit of a backlash in a couple of years, right? When you call Delta Airlines or whatever, United, and you can't get to a human, right? And you're talking to an AI agent that's like pretty darn good, but maybe not quite as good as a human. And there's going to be frustration and backlash, and we're all just going to have to like sort this thing out together.
Better on a net basis. I like that. It's going to be better on a net basis, but there's going to be, it's going to be a lot of mess in between.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. That's dope. Well, Davis Bell, we're better on a net basis now that we've discussed this and had you on. I appreciate this. Where can people find you? I see you're active on LinkedIn.
Yep. Active on LinkedIn, not as active on Twitter, but poke in there every once in a while, but LinkedIn's probably best way.
Dope. All right. Well, thanks, homie. Appreciate you, this conversation. It's kind of like an entry point into a lot of this, but that's good.
Yeah. Glad to chat. Thanks, Scotty. Talk to you soon.
While you're here, don't forget to follow us on Spotify or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may be listening to us right now so you don't miss out on any new episodes. Share this episode on social media, tagging us at Accounting High. And feel free to leave us a 5-star review letting us know how the school year is treating you.